Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is a Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
And all the leadership that are involved, and beyond that, we got Juan over here, and how integral you guys are in the part of our Georgia family, and really this summer just at camp, and just how much you guys loved our students of Georgia and your heart to serve and be a part of what we're doing. And so I'm excited about the future of Georgia because CLC is in Georgia, and I really mean that. And the blessing that you guys are to us. But this morning, I have a couple gifts that I want to give away. Gifts are good things. How many of you guys love gifts? Like, you just love them. I'm not talking about the little things you send to each other in a text message. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, that's a GIF, right? Actually, didn't the creator of it call it a GIF? Yeah, the creator. Yeah, but GIF, whatever. So, this morning, I want to know, you know, this is a conglomeration, a grouping of people who've come, you know, from different lengths. And so, I want to know, who traveled the furthest to come to school at CLC? Who traveled the furthest? You live... Rachel, how far? 9.5 hours. Where'd you come from? Columbus, Ohio, which used to be my neighbor, okay? Why I asked that... Is that like her theme song? Because that's Hillary Duff, right? Like, I'm saying, like, listen, they just announced on Disney Plus that she's coming back. That's not, listen, not good for my marriage, okay? So, I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding, but seriously, pray for us. And so, anyway, I came from, I'm originally from Pennsylvania. So, we talk about being far away. She's 9.5 hours in Columbus. I'm from Pennsylvania. Anyone, just so you know, you're welcome for your freedom. It's because of Pennsylvania you are free. You know what I mean? Philadelphia, 1776. How many of you like ketchup on your stuff? Anyone, you like ketchup? Okay. You're welcome, Heinz, right? We brought you ketchup. How many of you like chocolate? Anyone, you like chocolate in here? Again, you're welcome, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Okay. Have you, anyone ever been to Hershey, PA? It literally smells like chocolate. Like, you drive into the town because all the roasting of all the things that make chocolate, and it smells like chocolate. It really does. And I grew up, our state youth convention was in Hershey, and so we would go and ride the, like, literally they have, like, the Wonka ride where you ride through the factory. It's super awesome. But I am from, I originally grew up in Pennsylvania, and then I spent some time in Springfield, Missouri at Central Bible College. Also known as Central Bridal College, also known now as Evangel University, tier. And if you don't know, it's gone now. But anyway, then I spent time in Texas, and everything really is bigger in Texas. It's just true. It's kind of weird. And then we left there. We spent about four and a half years in St. Louis, Missouri, right, where the Arch is. And no lie, when the whole Ferguson stuff happened, you guys remember Ferguson and all the crazy riots and stuff? That was like 20 minutes from our house, and my favorite Wingstop was in Ferguson. Several times we would eat there, and people were being shot in like the parking lot. Not lying, but totally worth it because wings are good. And so anyway, and then we came to Columbus, Georgia. We were here for about 4.5 years. And then, you know, now we're in this role. But anyway, that's where I'm from. Anyone in here, you are the youngest sibling of your family. The youngest sibling, okay? All my babies, where are you at? All right, youngest siblings, keep your hand up. You have two older brothers. Anyone, you have two older brothers, okay? Two older brothers, and you're the youngest, okay? And then you have no younger siblings. I guess that's why you're raising your hand. So that doesn't make sense. Eason, I know you, and so I'm going to throw it. Someone help me out there. I'm the youngest of three. Babies are awesome. Where are my babies at again? Raise your hand. Aren't babies awesome? Because we get everything, right? You know what I mean? Like, I totally leveraged it my whole life. I'm like, Dad, it's the last time you'll have to buy a car for a kid. Miles will buy me a brand new Mazda 3, like when, you know, and like, he did it. So, young ones. Not saying I'm spoiled, but I took advantage of being the youngest. And then finally, how many of you here, anyone in here, you played basketball for your school, for your high school? Basketball in high school? You played for your school? Okay. for your school? Okay, homeschooling doesn't count. Okay, homeschooling doesn't count for this. No upwards, I'm talking about. All right, you played basketball and you played soccer. Okay, and you played soccer for your school. For your school, basketball and soccer, both for your school. Okay, here you go. Was he homeschooled? He looks like a homeschooler. I'm just kidding. Mom cut his hair. Okay, so I played basketball, and I actually played college football. No lie, I played college football. It was one game a year where we'd borrow all of the equipment from the local high school, and it was CBC, Central Bible College, against BBC, Baptist Bible College. Listen, Pentecostals versus Baptists in Missouri State's stadium there, and it's a big stadium, and no lie, we won the game because of me. And hear me, we won the game because of me, because on the play before the play we won the game, I got knocked out, and they threw a flag, right? Because I caught the ball, and he, you know, hit me, and I got knocked out, so I'm laying on the field, you know what I mean? And they threw a flag, and you can't end the game on a penalty, and the next play, my roommate caught the winning touchdown. So I won the game for us, you're welcome, sacrificed, you know, for the AG, and we beat the Baptists. Anyone here grow up Baptist? Anyone grow up Baptist? Super fun fact, I grew up in an Assemblies of God church, but my school was a private Baptist school. And I'm talking about like Bob Jones University Baptist. Any of my Baptist friends, you know Bob Jones. You know what I mean? They have barbed wire facing in so you can't get out. And it's pink and blue sidewalks and drummings of the devil. And Carmen, and you remember Carmen? Carmen the singer? He was like Carmen the champion. He was like, I'm saved because of Carmen. You know what I mean? And they literally said Carmen's of the devil. They're like, he is of the devil. You know what I mean? And anyway, so that is just a little bit about me. And I just wanted you, for those of you who really don't know me, now you know something about me. But the reality is it's not about me, okay? It is not about me. It is always about Jesus. And so I'm super excited just to be with my family this morning here. And you guys really are like family. And I'm excited about all the things we get to do in the future moving forward and how you guys get to bless the students of Georgia. And it's going to be an absolute great morning. And so if you have your notes, go ahead and take them out for me. I know it's easy just to kind of be like, I'll remember it. But the reality is you don't remember it. Those who take notes are first in line at heaven. It's just true. It really is. God's checking for your notebooks. And if you don't take notes, you will be in the back. You still get in, but you're in the back. And so this morning, for those of you who are here, you guys are in the church, you're a part of the church, and for me, as one of my new roles is to travel around from church to church to church, you start hearing a lot of the same vernacular. You start hearing a lot of the same words that people use in church. What are some fancy like church words that you guys either grew up hearing or you're hearing now? It's just like a common phrase in church. You guys have any common phrases in church? How's your mom and dad? It's a great common phrase. What's another common phrase? Let's do a fire tunnel. Seek his face, right? Like, there's a worship song that talks about, like, leaning back on Jesus' chest and, like, him. Like, it's kind of a weird song. Anyway, we have some weird stuff in for a female, that's fine, but I don't want to lean back on Jesus' chest and have him whisper in my ear. It's just not me. Anyway, so, Jordan. Walk through the door. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? You have just a church saying? Good morning. Yes, that's a great one. Easton? Say that. Okay? Say that. So a church phrase that I've heard over and over and over and over again, especially because in my old church, Solid Rock, I literally used to say it every single Sunday as a part of like my morning thing, and it was that the best... You guys really sound like it, and some of you look like the best is yet to come this morning, you know what I mean? Like, it can only get better from how some of you look. And so, I'm just kidding. I love you. Oh, okay. I mean, that was a great point, because I was kind of being rude in that moment. Anyway, hear my heart. So, we hear the best is yet to come a lot, and the reality is that we have to understand that some of you, we all hear that phrase differently. And what that means, let me put it this way. When I say the phrase Roll Tide, okay, check it. I said two words, and a lot of people started feeling a lot of different ways in this room. You know what I mean? Like, how many of you feel excited when I say Roll Tide? You're like, what's up? Like, Tua for life. You know what I mean? And then, so you feel good. How many of you feel, like, angry? You're like, I hate that. Like, no way. You're not about Roll Tide. You know what I mean? Like, no. Right? You don't feel good about it. How many of you are like, I don't care. Football's lame. Let's just move on. Quit talking about it. Right? So what I'm showing you is that a phrase can mean something, but people feel differently when they hear that phrase because of how they were brought up, because of their life experience, because of the things that matter to them. And so whenever I say the phrase, the best is yet to come, naturally we would try to think in the church world, we should all be like, yes, I agree. We all feel good about it. But the reality is that if we genuinely pulse the room, and I'm not going to make you raise your hands, there are some of you that might feel good. Some of you that might feel angry, some of you that could really care less when you hear that phrase. You know, for some of you in the room, when you hear the best is yet to come, you might immediately feel encouraged. You're like a little puppy dog. You're always happy. You know what I mean? And you feel good about it. Like maybe this is like your first semester at CLC and there's a lot of exciting things happening and you're excited about your future. You're excited about where God has you. You're excited about the potential of what you'll get to do one day or the potential of the people around you. And you're just genuinely excited that you genuinely believe that the best is yet to come, and it brings you a lot of excitement. There might be some of you in this room, you might just feel a little bit indifferent when you hear that. Indifferent is kind of like you couldn't care more, couldn't care less. You're like, it's a good church phrase. Like, yes, there's some truth behind it, but honestly, there's no real emotional response from you about that phrase. It doesn't get you up in the morning. It doesn't put you in bed at night, but it's just kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Move on. The best is yet to come. That's cool. That's all good. Some of you, you might actually feel discouraged when you hear that phrase. When you hear that the best is yet to come, honestly, you've been through some stuff. And honestly, you might feel a little discouraged that maybe the best is yet to come for other people, but I'm just not set up like other people are. I just don't have the connections. I don't have the family background. And you're just kind of like disheartened. You're discouraged. You're not really enthusiastic about it. You might be even a little upset about it. But there's also a group in here that you might feel actually indignant when you hear the phrase, the best is yet to come. Indignant is a big word. It just means angry. You feel annoyed. You feel angered when you hear this. Not because you hear it a lot in the church world, but because of what you feel as perceived unfair treatment in how you see who God is, or you hear who God is supposed to be, and then you look at your circumstance, you look at your reality, and you're like, if God is supposed to be good, and my experience is not good, you become angry almost, not like physically angry, but there's this indignance inside of you. They're like, how in the world is the best is yet to come? Because none of this is really matching up with my experience. Someone in your family might be sick. You might have lost someone in your family in the past. You might be looking at your finances right now and be like, how in the world, none of this seems like it's going to work. And you're actually, when you hear that, you become ultra angry. You become ultra indignant at this phrase. How in the world could the best be still to come? You know, so much of how you feel when it comes to this statement is really tied back to how you define what really is the best. How you feel about it, whether you are encouraged, whether you are indifferent, whether you are discouraged, or even maybe angry about it, a lot of it has to do with how do you define the best? What really is the best? If you look it up in the dictionary, the best is this, and try to write all this down. Just kidding, because it's a lot. The best, according to the dictionary, someone else wrote it down, take a screenshot, is the finest, the greatest, the top, the leading, the preeminent, the premier, the first, the supreme, of the highest quality. The best is unrivaled, second to none, without equal, unsurpassed, peerless, matchless, unparalleled, unbeaten, unbeatable, optimal, ultimate, surpassing all, incomparable, ideal, perfect, highest, record-breaking, top of the range, top of the line, number one, one in a million, a cut above the rest, top drawer, or most desirable. Does that sound like the best to some of you in the room? That is what the best is. And so if that is what the best is, then why do we really want the best? In our human nature, why do we search for the best? Why do we look for what is the best? Because the reason why that you and I search for the best is because we believe that in having, in achieving, in getting the best will bring us a sense of fulfillment that the worst doesn't bring us. Let me paint it this way. In all of this Popeyes and Chick-fil-A debate going on, in the search for the best chicken sandwich, right? Ain't nobody talking about McDonald's McChicken. And they even have a spicy McChicken back. I don't know if it's here, but it's out. And I've gotten like 100 of them. They're so good. But when you're looking for the best, no one's talking about McDonald's. No one's talking about Taco Bell's breakfast. You know what I mean? Like things that just don't make sense. And how many of you have had the Popeyes chicken sandwich? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have tried and they've been sold out, right? They're like sold out everywhere. And so there's this literally, whoever figured out where this came from, I'd be fascinated because I'm convinced it did not come from Popeyes. But no one was smart enough in Popeyes to create this debacle. You know what I mean? Like, but we are like just bent on trying to figure out who has the best chicken sandwich because of what they believe that the best chicken sandwich will bring you. Happiness, fulfillment, your mouth overjoyed. You know what I mean? Like, don't lie. Some of you, like, you come back from a mission trip, the first thing you want is something good to eat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm about to head to Africa on Friday, and I literally just bought a little keychain thing of sriracha because I just, listen, like, don't laugh. Like, if they bring you something gross, put some sriracha on it, it tastes great. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, I don't eat seafood, but dump it in yum-yum sauce, I'll eat whatever you put in front of me. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. And I'll be pooping my pants later, but it's just what happens. I have a lot of poop my pants stories, and all of them have started with yum yum sauce at a hibachi place. Listen, don't worry about it. All right, so it's just a thing. I don't know how to move on from that question. So we're searching for the best. We want the best. We want to have the best. We want to be the best. We want to be with the best. We want to be doing the best because what we feel, what will be brought to our heart, to our soul, to our contentment when we have the best. It's like after, you know, a Thanksgiving lunch, you know what I mean? It's like the unbutton your pants, sit back, fall asleep. I am fulfilled. I am satisfied. I want nothing more, nothing else. You know, like Cody Carnes, he wrote that song after Thanksgiving. Nothing else, you know what I mean? Like, no more turkey, and, you know, he feels good about himself, you know? That's this fulfillment. And so what happens is, in our search for this fulfillment, in our search for this happiness, we begin to look for the best, unfortunately, in all the wrong areas. We look for the best in what I call idols. And I'm not talking about the little chubby dude at the buffet. What I'm talking about is you begin to look for the best in idols. And that's I-D-O-L-S. Or take away the S, we're doing idol. And that is you look for the best in acquiring items. That there, and all of us kind of fit in one of these categories of what you're kind of bent towards. Like, some of you, you look for fulfillment, you look for happiness in acquiring things. Like, you've got to have the latest iPhone, you've got to have the latest car, you've got to have the latest clothes. Like, you want to look the best, you want to have the best. Like, you've got to have the best because you just take some happiness and fulfillment in having things in your life. And so you look for things to bring you happiness. ID, duty. Some of you, you look for happiness in duties. That is the things that you do. This is for a lot of us like the scholarship softball stars, the like scholarship basketball stars, or whatever the things that you do. It's like you find so much fulfillment, you find so much happiness in the things that you do, that when you are on and you're doing really good, man, you feel good about yourself. Like, you knocked that one out of the park, and not, I'm not talking specifically about softball, I'm just talking about you do something so well that you're just, like, satisfied, you're sitting back, you're admiring what you did, you're finding a lot of pleasure in what you just did, or maybe you might mess up, and you just were kind of subpar on that one, and you kind of sit back, and you're going over and over, how could I have done better, and you feel a sense of loss of value for yourself, you are so unsatisfied because you feel like you could have done better. So some of you find your happiness or fulfillment in things. Some of you find it in duties, things you do, I-D-O. Some of you find your fulfillment and happiness in others. You're looking for the best in others, that you're never really okay being by yourself. Someone super smart told me, and I don't remember who it is, but it didn't come from me. They told me I was never ready to get married till I was okay being alone. You look for happiness in that friend. And some of you, you might be in this mode, not like you came from 9.5 hours away, or you don't have a lot of friends in this room, and you're kind of unsettled by that. You're looking around, you're trying to find happiness, like if I could just have one or two friends, like super close friends, and so, or maybe be in the relation with the opposite sex, that you just have found so much of your fulfillment in a relationship with someone, and when it goes bad, it's really bad. When it's going good, it's really good. But you're looking for that fulfillment in other people. So it might be items, things you're looking for fulfillment, it might be duties, the things that you do, it might be others, or honestly, the last one, it might be longings. And what I mean by that is you're looking for fulfillment, longing for something else. You're never satisfied where you are with what you have. You always wish you long for having something else. You long for being somewhere else. It's that kind of a person that they're never satisfied where they are. They're always looking, I can't wait to get out of this town, you know? If I just get out of this town, everything would be better. And then you go to the next town. If I get out of this town, things would be better. Listen, it's following you. Might be something about you. You're never satisfied. But here's the crazy part. Most of us in this room, you know, we've lived long enough to know. We know these things don't bring us that fulfillment that the enemy promises. We know it. We've lived our middle school and high school years and somewhat of our early college years that we've chased these things. We've had the things. We've had the job. We've done the thing. We've had the relationship. We've actually moved away from that place, or we've gone on and we experienced that little bit of fulfillment. Initially, it is great. There's a super high, but with the high, it begins to wear off to a low. And so here's the crazy part about humanity is that we continue to chase these things even though we know that once we get those things, it won't bring us the fulfillment we're looking for. We've lived long enough to know it. But we keep chasing it over and over and over again. Which begs me to ask the question this morning. If these things wear off and they wear out so quickly, if this best fulfillment stuff that we've been searching for doesn't last very long and wears off at some point, let me ask you this question. Whose best are those things? Whose best are they? Who defines these as the best? Is this your best? Is this God's best? Who defined the things that you're chasing as the best?
You know, I think the problem is that clearly all of this best talk, it's always centered around the common denominator, and that is you. It's the items, it's the things, it's the materials that you want that will bring happiness to your life. It's the things in that you want to do with your life that you think will bring purpose to your life. Or it's the others or the relationships that you think will bring value to your life. Or it's the longings, the places that you want to go, the person that you want to be that you are currently not. That if those things were to change, that you would finally be happy. And here's the truth this morning that I begin to challenge you with and then come around and bring you so much encouragement and uplifting this morning is that when you're centered on you and when you are searching for the best as you define the best, you begin to go down paths you were never intended to go down. When you search for what you define as the best, you start going down a road that God did not design for you. What happens is you get way in over your head in acquiring the things that you thought would satisfy you, only to move on to the next thing that doesn't anymore. Or you end up in a job or a situation that you thought would be a dream, but it ended up being a complete nightmare. Or maybe you ended up in a relationship that is destroying what God intended for you to be. Or you're that one person that is never satisfied where they are. You're always longing to be somewhere else. And so what happens is that over time, through this roller coaster of getting the best and then it wearing off, and then getting the best and then it wearing off, and then we begin to go down paths we never were intended to go down, we begin to have consequences for going down those paths, and we begin to experience some bad things happening to us, not because God is bad, but because honestly, a lot of the times that you get to a place where you go, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, how did I get here? And God's like, homie, you took yourself down that path. Like, I was trying to guide you, but you had your GPS malfunctioning to following after your desires and what you thought was best. And so you brought yourself here. You brought this down on you. And so we become discouraged that when we hear the best is yet to come, we're not filled with excitement, we're not filled with joy, because sometimes we begin to look right at what is right in front of us, the tree that is right in front of us, and all we see is right here when God is looking up here. And we become discouraged. In our heart, in our soul, we're not excited, and you start hearing yourself saying these things that it is what it is, and it's always going to be that way. The church is what it is, and it's just going to be that way. My life is what it is, and it's just my parents are that way, and they're just always going to be that way. My friends are that way, and it's always going to be that way. Or maybe you're like, dude, my high school is so much better than this. Some of you are like, God, thank you for getting me out of high school. Some of you are just like, listen, this is a whole different bear. This is a whole different ball game. And so you begin to lose confidence and lose hope in the excitement of the future. We arrive at this point because in our pursuit of what we thought was the best, it got us here. It got us to this place where we're discouraged. It got us to this place where we're not really excited. When in reality, we got here because we never really trusted that God's best was really the best for us. We never trusted that God's best was the best for us. Now, earlier I asked you about, does anyone have any... are you the baby of the family? Any of you, you're the oldest in your family. You're the top dog, okay? Do you guys have any strong-willed little brothers and sisters? Anyone? Strong-willed? It's like, regardless of what you tell them, you're wrong. you hate them. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they say. You hate me, you know. You just want to rule my life. I know that because that's what I told my older brothers. You know what I mean? Some of you have met my son, Judah. He's 5 years old. Some of you have befriended him, and I thank you for that. Now, let me tell you this kid. He is strong-willed, right? He gets it from his mom. It's just what it is. She's not here. I can talk about her. Even at 5 years old, Judah knows what he wants. Whether it's Mountain Dew, Baja Blast, 24/7 that his dad sneaks him, or just one more Spider-Man show before bed, you know, it's always one more. Or whether it's getting to run crazy in the world's most dangerous place on earth, Walmart parking lots, you know what I mean? He's convinced that these things are the best for him. Like, it's daddy, it's just the best. Like, that's what I need to do. You know, there are times where Sarah and I, we're in the front of the car, we're on our way somewhere, and we're making plans, like, where to go to eat or what we're going to do for the day. And Judah, he's being real good. He's being real quiet, you know, which isn't normal, but he's being real quiet, just sitting in the back. And then Sarah and I, we kind of conclude, this is what we're going to do. And then we hear this little voice peep up in the back, and he says, okay, mommy, okay, daddy, I heard your plan, but guess what? I have a better plan. This is what I think we should do. How many of you know that if I let Judah do whatever Judah wanted to do, whatever he thought was best, that he probably wouldn't make it much past 5 years old? Because although my son has a hard time believing it, he really doesn't know what's best for him. Because my thoughts are higher than my son's thoughts. My wisdom and my life experience and my foresight into how his little five-year-old plans will play out into the future, I can foresee that that's probably not going to be a great future for you, little buddy. In the same way, do we really feel like we know what's best for us? We hear all the plans that God might have for us, and we're sitting in the back of the car saying, okay, daddy, that's a great plan, but here's my plan. How can we know this morning? This is what I want to instill into you, and what's great about this, pretty much for the last 5 to 10 minutes, I'm reading nothing but scripture. Because I want to instill into you this morning that you can trust that God knows what's best for you. That God knows what's best for you. So how can you know what God knows is best for you? Let's start with Paul. As Paul, he writes to the Roman church to remind them of who they are. He says this, "For if you live according to your flesh, you will die." If you live according to your flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit as adoption as sons and daughters. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. And then David chimes in. He says, O Lord, you have searched me. O Lord, you've known me. You know when I stand up. You know when I sit down. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, and I'm lying down, and you're acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, you know it altogether. You hem me in before me and behind me. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Your knowledge is so high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take on the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me will be so dark it will be like night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night to you is as bright as day. For you formed me, hear me, for you formed me in my most inward parts. You put me together, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven depths of the earth. You saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, hear this. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were no days of my life just yet. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, there are more than the sand. Then Jeremiah, he hears the word of the Lord say to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. For I know the plans that I have for you, he said to Jeremiah, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Isaiah then writes, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways and thoughts are higher than yours. Paul continued to the Galatian church. But when he who had set me apart before him was born, and he called me to his grace, for we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then finally, we look at the book of beginnings. Hang with me. Come on. The book of beginnings says, then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So you might be saying, yeah, Joe, well, some of you have been in Bible school for a long now, and you're saying, yeah, Joe, well, all of these scriptures, that you talked about Paul, you talked about David, you talked about Isaiah, Jeremiah, like clearly, like you're taking all of these out of context because all of them have a different context to a different audience, and you can't really tie them all together because it means different things at different places. And I say, yes and amen. It's the very fact that these are different contexts to different people, to different churches, but they are all communicating the same thing. The very same thing. It's saying that God loves you, God formed you, God knows you, God made you. God knows how you work. If, you know, I know nothing about guitars, you know what I mean? Like, if I went up there and I grabbed this acoustic guitar, I think I know at least enough to know it's acoustic, and I grabbed it and I begin to play this guitar, how many of you know it would sound pretty terrible? You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't sound good at all, and I'm playing it. And honestly, what if I've never seen, what if you go to like an indigenous tribe, never seen a guitar before, you hand them a guitar, and they go with the guitar, and they think they just should smash it against because they don't know how it plays music. You'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you're crazy. But then someone who made the guitar, what do you call them? A guitar maker. Yes, and so you put the guitar into the guitar maker's hands. He made it. He knows how to make unbelievable music with it. With this guitar, he can bring hope to people just through sound. What God is saying in all of these different contexts, but the same message is, he's the guitar maker. Right? He knows you. He formed you. He can make the most beautiful music with you that will bring hope to people all around the world, but you've got to quit acting like you know how to play your guitar. All you're doing is smashing it against the wall, making noise. You can trust the guitar maker knows how you play because he made you. So this should make you begin to respond this way. In Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding of what is the best. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The steps of a righteous man, they are established by the Lord when you delight in God. That though you fall, you'll mess up, God will hold your hand and pick you up. And we know that for those who love God and seek after God, whatever happens to you will come together for good somehow. You'll never see it sometimes. You'll never believe it sometimes. But I promise you, it will. And Jesus himself said this, which one of you, if your son were to ask you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone instead? Or if he asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you, you know what I'm saying, good gifts. Worship team, you can come forward. Do we really? Yeah, go ahead, you can come forward. Don't be scared. There you are. They always come like one by one. Do we really still think that we can trust that we know what's better than God? That the best is yet to come. So if we know that God's best is the best for us, how can we know that it will come? We know God's best is the best. How do we know it's going to come? And I want you to hang with me one more second. Here's the truth. That whatever you deem as best, whatever you in your own world, playing your own music, throwing your own guitar against the wall, when you're going down your path looking for your best, here's the sad part. Your best might come. Because you have limited power, you have limited authority, you can only make certain things happen. There's a lot of things that are out of your control. So in your own pursuit of what you believe is best, it might come. And that's depressing. But then Job, he says this about God's power and God's authority. And I want you, everyone, to sit up straight and close your eyes. Because Job's about to paint a beautiful picture of God's power and authority. How can you know that God's best will come? Because this is our God. God who stretches the northern sky over empty space, and he hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with that weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. God, he created the horizon where he separated the waters. God set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. God's spirit made the heavens beautiful. In his power, it pierced the gliding snake. These are just the beginning of all that God does. Merely a whisper of his power. This is merely a whisper of God's power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? Who then? So God's best, God's finest, God's greatest, God's top, God's leading, God's preeminent, the premier, the first, the supreme, God's highest quality, unrivaled, second to none, without equal, unsurpassed, peerless, matchless, God's unparalleled, his unbeaten, unbeatable, optimal, ultimate, surpassing all, God's incomparable, his ideal, his perfect, his highest, his record-breaking, his top of the range, God's top of the line, his number one, his one in a million, God's cut above the rest, his top drawer, his most desirable. It will come in your life because he holds all the power. He holds all the authority.
Whatever circumstances you're facing this morning, whatever hardships, whatever challenges, whatever is in your face, you must know, you must believe that the best, God's best, is yet to come. His best is yet to come. Would you stand with me today? I'll conclude with the words of Jesus. And when I'm done concluding, I know you got class in 9 minutes. You know, the most important part of a message is your response. Hear the word, do the word. And so you can respond as quickly as you need to, but we're going to worship, but you'll be responding all day, all week. Your life is a response to God. And so I'm going to conclude with the words of Jesus, and then I want us to sing, and then Pastor Justin will dismiss you to your class. Close your eyes. Jesus said this. He said, "Therefore I tell you, son and daughter, do not be anxious about your life, about what you're going to eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you're going to put on." He's addressing the idols. He says, "Is not your life more than Popeyes or Chick-fil-A? Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, they neither reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not more valuable than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour of life? And why are you anxious about what you will wear? Consider the flowers of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, they're not anxious. Yet I tell you, even King Solomon, in all of his glory, in all of his wonder, was not dressed like one of those flowers. But if God so clothes the grass and the flowers of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is dead, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious by saying, 'What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? What am I going to wear?' For the Gentiles, the lost people, they seek after those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He created you. He loves you. He says this, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first God's best. Seek first God's best. And all of these things, they will be added unto you. Seek first God's best. And all of God's best.